And we have some goodies and open lines and all kinds of things as well. This is WBZ. And a couple of quick notes. Thanks to Mike's Deli. Mike from Brookline dropped off some sandwiches for the boys and some delicious Aquapana water bottled at the source in Italy. We're a very classy show here. And don't forget, you can visit WBZ1030.com to listen online. Visit JordanRich.com. Of course, we have our restaurant, 2007 restaurant list up and our book list from the summer and a whole lot more. Joining me in this first hour, she's in studio. Last year we talked on the telephone, and I'm very happy to meet her, Stephanie Moulton Sarkis. Dr. Sarkis is an expert in and has written about adult ADD, 10 simple solutions to adult ADD, how to overcome chronic distraction and accomplish your goals. And thank you so much for coming in at this late hour.
Well, thank you for having me. It's nice to see you in person.
How's the water?
It's fabulous.
Isn't it delicious?
Yes.
Anything that comes out of a bottle this attractive has to be good, right?
Yeah, I feel very fancy
drinking this water. We only treat our in-studio guests with the finest. Now, Stephanie, you and I spoke about a year ago, and since then, we've had, you've had probably quite a whirlwind series of interviews and so forth. This is a topic that's gaining in more national attention, isn't it? Adults with ADD.
Right. And just yesterday, I learned a statistics that 3 to 4 million people in the U.S. have ADD, which I was pretty amazed it was that high. So out of our U.S. population, 3 to 4 million.
I mean, and when we say have attention deficit disorder, to what extent? I mean, when does it become a, quote, disorder, and when is it simply...
Is 3 to 4 million diagnosable people. So that means that they meet the criteria for ADHD, and they also have impairment. So if you're the type of person that just loses your keys or has a hard time getting out the door in the morning because you forget things, but other than that, you're functioning okay, then you probably don't have ADD. But if you hear from your spouse or from your employer that they're having a really hard time with the way you're functioning, then you might want to get an evaluation.
Well, we know that there are many, many children who are evaluated as having ADD. Obviously, kids grow up, so here we are, right?
Right, and about 50 to 70% of people that had ADD as children also have it as adults. It just looks a little different than when you have childhood ADD.
Well, we'll get into some of the thoughts on dealing with this issue and, as you say, steps to help ease the crunch and to overcome the distraction. And our number, of course, is 617-254-1030. We'll open up the line shortly. If you have any question about this, if you think you may be dealing with this in your own life, there's a way to self-evaluate, according to the book. I mean, you have some suggestions. What would some of those be? How can we do that self-evaluation test even right now to determine if we may be dealing with it?
Well, anytime that you notice that your behavior is a little bit different than most people's, let's say you're in a meeting and after a half hour you just have to get up and leave, you just can't stand it anymore, that might be a little bit of a tip-off if everybody else is still sitting there calmly and you're the one that is just itching to move. There's a lot of inner restlessness, so just a feeling that you can't relax, you always have to be on the go, feeling like you even if you do get organized, you can't keep it organized for more than a day or so. That's a big tip-off also.
Mm-hmm. A lot of folks who are very, very busy, quote unquote, who claim to be busy, busy, busy all the time. Perhaps they're not quite that busy, but they're sort of acting in that fashion. Is that possible?
Yeah, it's different than just the day-to-day busyness and overscheduling. It's more just an inner feeling of you're just itching to get up and move around and do something. It's a little bit different than your standard harried schedule.
Hmm. And what are the results, not the results, but what might be the implication? Because you've studied this and you work with people in this area. What happens to people who have adult ADD who let it go unchecked?
Well, if you aren't on medication, you have a 6 times higher rate of substance abuse than if you are on medication. So that's a real key point, that when you have ADD, there's a brain chemical called dopamine in your brain that's low. And when you use illicit drugs, then your dopamine level goes up to that of somebody without ADD. Medication can raise your dopamine level in a safer, FDA-regulated way.
Okay, and the medications are prescribed for people, different dosage, different levels, that kind of thing?
Yes, everybody's body's different, so there's different dosages, different medicines. Something may work for one person, not for the other. So, and we don't have a blood test for ADD like we do for other disorders, so a lot of it is just trying to figure out which medicine works.
Right.
And your doctor may change your medicine based on how you're doing.
Right. Talking with Dr. Stephanie Moulton Sarkis, 10 simple solutions to adult ADD, and it's 12 after 12 here on WBZ, The Jordan Ridge Show, 617-254-1030. Now, what is ADHD? How does it differ from ADD?
Well, clinicians term everything ADHD. People in the community will say, I have ADD or ADD without the H, but we call everything ADHD. There's two different symptom groups. One is inattention, and that's looking out the window, not being able to pay attention, being disorganized. The other set of symptoms are hyperactivity, which is getting up out of your seat, fidgeting. So when you have both those types, you have a combined subtype of ADHD, and that's all a little bit jumbly, but the ADD type is just the inattentive, looking out the window kind.
Now, a lot of people will say, well, wait a minute, I occasionally daydream, I get bored, I mean, sitting around in my cubicle all day long, I start tooling around on the internet or whatever, I lose my focus. We don't want to confuse that with what this is.
Right, because that happens to everybody. Everybody loses their keys at some point, but the key thing is impairment. If you're otherwise doing great in your life, you're getting along with people, your job's going well, then you don't have a problem. But to meet the diagnostic criteria, you have to be having a problem at school, at work, or in social relationships.
Mm. And there is an actual chemical issue in the brain that has been studied?
Yes, they've actually figured out which genes cause ADD, and the more we look at the brain, we're going to find out even more detail about what those genes do and their interaction with the brain.
Now, Dr. Stephanie Sarkis is here. You're a counselor, and you work with folks, and you have been working with folks. You're also, I should add, adjunct assistant professor of counselor education down in Florida, Gainesville,
yes. Right? Yes.
In the book, you have a lot of very practical things that we can do. A lot of them involve journaling, writing things out. That's even a discipline that can help people, correct?
Yes, it can, because sometimes in ADD you have a hard time putting your thoughts into words, mm-hmm. and so writing it out can give you that time to kind of put your ideas together.
Right, right. And exercises that might help people, would you call these, in a sense, cognitive behavioral exercises, or is it more just developing good habits, rote discipline, that kind of thing? Or
developing good habits. For instance, one of the activities is having a sheet that you can bring to your first doctor's appointment that lists who in your family may have ADD, just to keep yourself organized and to make things go a little smoother for you during the day.
I noticed there's one little something on the household clutter and how to how to deal with that, because a lot of people, I mean, everyone has clutter in their life,
right.
but people with maybe ADD or ADHD would have clutter upon clutter upon clutter. They don't know how to deal with that.
Right.
A couple of quick tips before we go to the calls. Our lines are lit up now.
Okay. One of the best things to do is if you have people coming over, because a lot of people with ADD don't have people at their house because it's so messy, you get a just a basket and throw everything from the counter in the basket and just put it away and go through it later. Because that way then your counter's clean and then you can feel like you can actually have people at your house. And it doesn't matter what you're putting in the basket, just throw everything in there and go through it later.
You suggest opening and dealing with the mail right away.
Right, exactly. And having a basket, a little bill-paying basket, so you keep everything in one area.
Mm, okay. Well, there's a lot of issues here, and we'll get into some of your, I'm talking to the listeners now, your personal stories. Maybe you have somebody in your family or a friend, or maybe you yourself dealt with this. Maybe you don't know what it is you're dealing with. Is there a lot of confusion among people you deal with for the first time? They don't, what's wrong with me? What's not right with me?
Right, and people have told me, I feel like I was not there when they handed out the social skill manuals, that I wasn't in line, because there's just these unwritten rules that we just don't get, and we don't know why that is. So when we get diagnosed, that missing piece is finally put into the puzzle.
And it crosses all cultural, ethnic, and economic bounds, correct?
Yes. Across every country, the percentage of population that's ADD is pretty much the same.
All right. 617-254-1030. We have a lot of callers for Dr. Stephanie Sarkis. The book, 10 Simple Solutions to Adult ADD, and maybe you can give us some, for the callers, some general advice as we go along. Okay, let's start with Leon in New York. Leon, welcome. Jordan here. You're on WBZ, and we're talking about this issue, ADD for adults. What's up?
Hi, Jordan.
Hi.
Hello, Dr. Sargent.
Hi.
I was diagnosed 4 years ago, almost 4 years after job loss, and I decided to return to school part-time, or full-time, actually. Then they diagnosed me with the ADD, and now they're telling me I can take no more, that I shouldn't take any more than one class per semester.
Okay.
So that kind of puts a bind in things, and I'm on Concerta.
Okay.
What's your opinion of Concerta?
Again, it's real individual based on your body chemistry, because everybody's so different.
Mm-hmm.
it can work for some people, doesn't work for some people. So what you really want to do is talk to your doctor and see if there's something else that's available. Yeah. As far as the school part, was that through the school disabilities office that they recommended you take one class?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I would meet with them again and talk to them about that and just let them know, hey, this one class is kind of putting me in a bind, so can we work something out where I can take more than one class?
Well, they said I could if I wanted to. I mean, okay. The thing is that, you know, they're telling me, well, you're doing so poorly, we don't want to take your money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And I have plans to attend a local four-year college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm 52 years old, but, you know, the job market here is poor.
There are certain... stigma you think that you're being attached with here?
Oh, yeah.
Leon?
Yeah. I think one is the age, and the two, my handwriting is very poor because of carpal tunnel syndrome. And anyway, that was pretty much it.
What would your so-called symptoms be like? Describe what happens to you if you're not, tending to yourself with medication. What would it be like?
Well, I'd be jittery, and my mind would wander, and this is one of the things that they complained about in my old job years ago, and I had all the classic symptoms, but I didn't see them, and I didn't know what they were. You know, I just thought I was normal. You know, but normal for one person is not normal for another, I guess.
Right, and people with ADD, we have a really hard time judging our own behavior.
Yeah.
We have to wait until somebody else says something about it.
Right, right. And, you know, until I was diagnosed by a psychiatrist and told that I was mildly affected by it, you know, that was a shock. Mm-hmm. But it explains everything.
Mm-hmm.
The poor grades in school, I mean, I was in a huge high school that you didn't get any help with at all, period, you know, and I barely got out of high school. They practically told me that I was going to have to come back for another year. But, you know, I fulfilled all the credits, and apparently they didn't know what they were talking about.
Well, you sound like a very well-read and well-spoken individual, which is interesting because a lot of times people assume that it's connected to intelligence when really it isn't. There are people of all levels of intelligence who could have this.
Exactly.
Right, right. Yeah, the last time you and I talked, Jordan, was when Martin was on a while back.
Martin.
The gentleman that specialized in labor.
Yes. The fellow who finds jobs for people and so forth. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, you were. I love the book.
Oh, did I send you one?
Yes, you did.
I did. Very well.
I loved it.
I would recommend you taking a look at this book, and we can tell people how to get it. It's available in bookstores, but there's also a website, newharbinger.com. Is that the one?
Right, and then also my website is 10simplesolutions.com.
Ah, that's even better. 10simplesolutions.com, okay?
I will get the book, and I will look up the website. Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Leon.
You're
good
welcome.
Luck.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The interviewer in me... is going to follow up on something you said, and you're not embarrassed to say this. You said we deal with this.
Right.
You yourself have been dealing with this, and you have very successfully dealt with it. Tell me about your own story.
I was diagnosed when I was 23. I always knew in school that there was something going on that my desk, when I opened the top of the desk, all my papers flew out, and it didn't happen to all the other kids. So I always knew something was going on, but when I was in graduate school and sitting through three-hour classes, I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I realized, wait a second, I'm studying for 5 minutes at time and getting up and leaving, and my friends can study for a whole hour.
Mm.
So I was diagnosed, and I'm on medication. That's really made a difference. The first time I took medication, I was cooking, and I actually cleaned the kitchen up after I cooked, and I took photos of the kitchen and sent them to my mom.
because
it was just such an amazing thing, and I could sit still.
And before we break here, I think it's important to talk about medication because all of us, a lot of people think medication, they think, oh, terrible. We're medicating people to deal with their quirks, their personalities. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's a boon. It's helped you function very, very socially and very effectively.
I can read through a page in a book and know what I read without having to go back and reread it. And that was one of the first signs I knew the medicine was working.
I guess the controversy with children, though, is still burning, and, you know, whether we over-medicate kids at such a young age, just right out of the box.
Right. I think there's a certain percentage that are over-medicated, but I think there's a vast majority that are under-medicated. Only about 20% of adults with ADD are diagnosed, and only about half of them take medication.
All right, we'll take this quick break here and return on WBZ. My guest is Dr. Stephanie Sarkis. 10 Simple Solutions to Adult ADD, that's what we're talking about. 4 to 5 million people are actually clinically diagnosed with this. I would venture to say there are many, many, many more who aren't. We'll be right back helping you out with information, lots of entertainment, and lots of good conversation all through the night. That's what this program is all about. And this is Jordan. We shall return in moments. Stay with us.
How's the weekend forecast shaping up? Stay ahead of the weather with WBZ's AccuWeather Forecast every 10 minutes, starting at 5 a.m. on the WBZ Weekend News every day.
My mom developed Alzheimer's disease when she was in her late 60s.
Attorney Stephen Spano.
My father denied it and didn't want any of the family, relatives, or neighbors to even know about it. She needed constant supervision. She needed an adult day program. People don't take steps to plan for life.
The law offices of Spano and DeWicke.
Initially, my father had been told you're going to have to sell the house or refinance the house and use the money to take care of your wife. The laws are complicated, and many times what happens is there's intentional disinformation.
Online at caringlaw.com.
We were able to develop legal documents for them and a plan that would allow him to take care of her as long as possible and then place her in a very safe environment so that she could be cared for and yet he would not be impoverished.
Call 781-231-7800. 781-231-7800. On the web at caringlaw.com.
WBZ News Radio 1030.
The bridges and tunnels between Boston and Washington are in desperate need of repair.
Wherever the big stories break.
Another open manhole incident to report, this time in Brighton.
The House votes to give U.S. soldiers a break.
Thugs have vandalized more than $350,000 worth of AstroTurf.
You'll always hear them right here.
Never been called George Bush or Dick Cheney, certainly.
WBZ News Radio 1030 and WBZ1030.com. Every day.
The Steve Lavelli Broadcast, weeknights from midnight to 5 a.m. And on weekends, The Jordan Rich Show on WBZ News Radio 1030.
It is 1224 here. It is 76 degrees. My guest in studio is Dr. Stephanie Sarkis, PhD. She's a counselor. She has written this book, 10 Simple Solutions to Adult ADD. She herself had ADHD, and we've been talking about that. She's also the director of assessments and evaluations at Sarkis Family Psychiatry, where she conducts clinical trials. So you've been involved in this 100%. And even before you were diagnosed, you were involved in learning psychology. Interesting.
Right, right. So I was in the counseling program, and that's when I first found out that I had ADD.
Fascinating. Let's go to some calls here. Claire in Hudson, you're on WBZ. Jordan here with Dr. Stephanie Sarkis. Hi, Claire.
Hello. I am so glad to hear somebody talk about this problem, as some people say, because adult ADD is really out there. I know I have it. But, you know, people think that adults use it as a crutch. They think that once a child gets out of school that it goes away. And I'll tell you, it doesn't. I went to school in the late 50s and early 60s when they didn't have a clue what ADD was. And I had problems in my work life most of my early adult years, and it wasn't until I was in my middle to late 40s that I had done some reading, and I said, you know something, I think I fit this, and I happened to mention it to this psychologist that I was going to see, one of many because of this problem, and nobody was able to put their finger on it. And she just kind of blew me off. So I wasn't getting anywhere. And I went to somebody else who, after hearing my life story for a week, he asked me to read this one book by, well, Driven to Distraction.
Right.
And I went back to him the following week, and I said, how did you know? I read the book, and I cried at every page because there I was. And he said, just by the way you talked, he said, you never finish a statement. You never get to the point. I call it my Edith Bunker syndrome because by the time I'm finished talking, I'm on a totally different subject. You know, disorganized isn't the word. And when I started taking first just regular methylphenidate, I couldn't believe it. It was like the fog was lifted. I could read a book and actually comprehend what I was mm-hmm. reading. I could finish things that I started. It was like a whole new life.
Well, Claire, let's get a little feedback from Stephanie here, who is hearing your story. Does this sound familiar? You've probably talked to a lot of folks and dealt with folks who sound similar to her.
Yes, and what Claire was saying about seeing a clinician that either didn't believe in AED or didn't have experience with it, you know, that happens, and that's okay, because sometimes we click with different clinicians and sometimes we don't. So in your case, you're able to find someone that knew about ADD. So don't be afraid to just, and I'm talking not to Claire, but general population,
sure.
to be afraid to just find somebody else to see if you feel like you're not getting the treatment that you need.
Claire, you said that the fog lifted. And again, that's a wonderful metaphor for what this is all about. Describe that. I mean, you just couldn't focus on stuff too long?
I couldn't focus.
Yeah.
I always had trouble reading in school.
Mm-hmm.
I always, like we used to have these reading exercises where they would have you read like a paragraph and then answer the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd read the paragraph, and then when I would go to answer the questions, I'd have to go back into the paragraph to find the answers again because I never could comprehend what I read.
Right, you have to work five times as hard
to
get the same amount of work done.
Now, and my question might be, is this sometimes referred to as a learning disability, or is it in a separate category?
That's a separate category, but 50% of people with ADHD also have a learning disability, mm. whether that's math or a reading disability.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, and I really can't say it was the fault of anybody, because in the 50s and 60s, they didn't have a clue of what ADD was. It
right.
wasn't, you know, until later that people really started to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
But people out in the workforce, some people still kind of say that it's an excuse, that mm-hmm. it doesn't exist.
Well, listen, I'm glad, Claire, only because we have so many calls.
Sure.
I'm very glad you called. And just remember that there's help and hope. Of course, you found it. 10simplesolutions.com is Stephanie's site.
Absolutely.
And nice to hear you. I think your testimony is important.
And I really want to thank her for coming on the air and giving a voice to us people
who
don't normally have a voice.
You bet. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. 617-254-1030. The subject in this hour is adult ADD, attention deficit disorder. And again, Stephanie, we've talked about this in other programs too. There's a tendency for people who don't have things like this to suggest, Pat, get over it. It's like depression, anxiety. Just don't be sad. Come on. Join the crowd. Get over it.
Yeah.
Very frustrating for those, I guess, who have it. Makes it even more difficult.
Yeah, if only it was that easy to just say, hey, snap out of it. But
mm-hmm.
The fact is that people with ADD, we don't want to have ADD. It's not like we wake up and go, hey, I'd really like to have problems mm-hmm. reading and paying attention. But I think that the key piece is that it's not that we don't want to do something. We can't. And that's a real important thing. It's not that we don't want to do well or not that we don't want to be organized. We can't do it. We don't have that skill set.
And when one is involved in a particular business or school venture that requires organization, boy, that must be a mess. When you get into a situation, if you're lucky enough to get a gig and then you can't handle it, it does wonders for your self-esteem.
Right, exactly, and that's why 50% of people with ADD have depression.
Okay, so that's another link to this. And by the way, all of the stuff that we're talking about, a lot of it's in the book, and the book is also, it says simple solutions. You're not asking people to climb to a mountaintop and sit cross-legged and come up with some vast answer. This is all very simple stuff. For instance, and we'll go right back to calls here, you suggest using email productively.
Right.
Can you give us a couple of tips on that?
Well, email is there for your convenience. So check it just every once in a while. You don't have to check your email right away every time you get a new one. So when you have a like Outlook and it beeps every time you get a new email, turn that off. You don't need to be notified. Wait until like 15 minutes and then check your email. Schedule email times during the day, because
right.
that can be a real time waste.
Scheduling makes a lot of sense. How about making a list of things to say on the phone? A lot of times we're calling businesses
right.
or people. And we all do this. We all kind of ramble. If you have a list even in front of you, it makes life easier, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And when you start talking, especially if you have ADD, you start, you know, we don't go from A to B to C. We go from A to Q to R. We go all over the place. So writing down everything really helps time efficiency, both for you and the person you're talking to.
Now, you also said that people tend to lose things. We all lose things, especially our keys. But you say on page 47 of your book, what to do when you lose something. And it's pretty, I think that's extremely wise. You want to just give us a little summary there?
Sure. One is keeping in perspective. Sometimes people with ADD, they really kind of emotionally beat themselves up, like, oh, I lost my keys again, and I can't believe it, blah, blah, blah. That happens to everybody, whether you have ADD or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you just want to keep that in mind. Also, just say to yourself, I'm going to find this item. It sounds kind of funny, but just saying that to yourself can really help you focus on getting the item back. Also, go back through your steps. Ask your family members, hey, where was I, before I was in this room? Where did I go today? And then also know when to take a break. If you're looking for something over and over again and you're at the point of tears and frustration, just stop.
Excellent advice. 617-254-1030. Jordan here with Stephanie Sarkis, Dr. Sarkis, the author of this book we're talking about, and a wonderful program, 10 Simple Solutions to Adult ADD. We'll continue with Frank Pushpa. Yes, Pushpa and Kevin, and one open line. And we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Great talk tonight with the Jordan Rich Show. Great news, traffic, and weather tomorrow morning, all on WBZ News Radio 1030.
Off-road diesel fuel specifications are changing. Traditional number 2 heating oil will no longer be allowed for off-road or marine use. If you run equipment, operate a marina, or otherwise use off-road diesel fuel, these changes affect you directly. Be sure you have the correct fuel in your tanks and your equipment, and avoid EPA fines of up to $32,000 per day. For more information, visit burkoil.com or call Ted at
1-800-BY-BURK.
Dennis K. Burke's Flexible Futures Program allows you to lock in your fuel costs. You can fix a price for the product you want, for the quantity you want, over the time frame you need. There are no minimum quantities required to lock in, and the time frame can range from 1 to 18 months. Take diesel fuel price risk out of your operation. To customize a program that matches your requirements, call Ted at
1-800-BY-BURK.
Do you have a question regarding identity theft?
I need help with a
call.
7070.
How about a warranty? Utility bill?
Call.
7070.
How'd you find out if a contractor, plumber, electrician is licensed?
Call for action.
Social Security?
787-7070.
Have you recently been defrauded?
I'd like to know about my rights as a tenant.
Do you need advice on how much heat you're allowed?
WBZ's call for action.
Have a consumer problem? A credit? Car problem?
Yeah, I'm being charged for toll-free numbers on my computer.
Mail fraud. Scams. Legal. Text. Job. Nonprofit. Help. Call.
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 617-787-7070.
For action. A tradition of helping for 35 years.
When you get to work, don't leave WBZ in your car. Now you can listen at work online. WBZ1030.com. Jordan Rich. Hey, don't let him fall asleep. Give him a call. He's got to earn his pay somehow. 617-254-1030. The Jordan Rich Show. Only on WBZ News Radio 1030.
It is lovely to be here. In fact, I haven't been here in the midnight hour for a couple of weeks, filling in the other shifts. But I'm back tonight. We've got a full roster, and in studio right now, a wonderful guest, Dr. Stephanie Sarkis. And Dr. Stephanie Sarkis is involved with the treatment of ADD and ADHD. 10simplesolutions.com. We've got a lot of callers out there with interesting perspectives. Their own stories are wonderfully refreshing to hear. So let's go back to some calls. I want to take Pushpa in Boxford. Hello, Pushpa. You're on WBZ.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a first-time caller. I always wanted to call. But anyway, the main thing is that I'm a pediatrician. I treat a lot of children with ADHD. And I agree with you 100% that adult ADHD is very much underdiagnosed and more so very much undertreated. And what I've been amazed that few of my children's mother and father took the medicine, mm-hmm. and they came and told me how wonderful they felt and how focused they were at their mm-hmm. work, while nobody knew why they were so focused that
mm-hmm.
day.
Right.
When they went and talked to their doctor, internist, or the family practitioner, they won't give them the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. because, they're not used to, and they are not, as I said, it's very, very much undertreated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really is the biggest problem. I think adult doctors have to recognize that ADHD exists.
Yes.
It's not as much as in children,
mm-hmm.
enough. And I think once they start to do that, it really, adults will do much, much better at their job and everything together like children mm-hmm. are doing. And I wish they really do start to diagnose, you know, ADHD.
Let's get Stephanie to chime in here on what Push was saying.
I totally agree that sometimes people will go to their general practitioner or primary care physician and maybe just not get the treatment that they want or need. And mm-hmm. In those cases, what I recommend is going to a specialist, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, mental health counselor, social worker, somebody that you know specializes in ADD. So what I recommend that clients do or patients do is when they call to make an appointment, ask them what their experience has been in ADD. Mm-hmm. Then also, what's their view of psychopharmacology or medication for ADD? Are they for it, against it? Make sure that you're all on the same page.
It's interesting because a lot of doctors, general practitioners, will prescribe antidepressants pretty liberally, but maybe do you agree, Pushpa?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's amazing how much they will describe, like you said, sleeping pill or antidepressant.
Mm-hmm. Anti-anxiety.
Anxiety pills.
Right.
But they are so much underdiagnosing the ADHD and mm-hmm. all these adults need.
Well, you've raised a very good point from your perspective as a pediatrician. Thank you very much. And by the way, thank you for calling. You finally broke the ice, huh? There you go. Thank you. Lovely talking to you, Pushpa. Let me go to Frank on a cell phone. Frank, you're on WBZ. Jordan here with Dr. Stephanie Sarkis. And we're talking about her book and her program, 10 Simple Solutions to Adult ADD. Frank?
Thanks for taking my call. I have a problem with my wife, and I'm just trying to figure out what's a good way try to get her without insulting her, but to try to get her to go to the doctor. You know, she cooks dinner, leaves the kitchen a mess. Mm-hmm. You know, shoes go under the bed instead of in the closet. You know, takes out the soda, leaves it on the counter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's just a slob or she has a medical issue. Well, I mean, how do I do it without an extremely smart, has a master's. Mm-hmm. Teaches at a local college.
It's interesting when you said that. I was thinking, sounds like my 14-year-old son who leaves things out on the counter. Mm-hmm. But he's just a 14-year-old teenager. But what do you think?
Right. I think, Frank, you're walking a fine line here with your wife. You want to be able to help her, but also when you bring up issues like the shoes not being put away or stuff on the counter, it can be really frustrating for somebody with ADD, and so you want to be able to give her help, but she has to want to go to the appointment on her own. And I think that's the most frustrating part for non-ADD spouses, is that you have to have the person go on their own. You can't make them go.
My OCD and her ADD.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty exciting combination there, Frank.
I was going to ask, actually. Hang on, Frank. I was going to ask about obsessive-compulsive, which most people know what that sort of means. Do they go hand-in-hand occasionally?
Sometimes they can't. Sometimes people can have OCD and ADHD at the same time.
Okay.
I've worked with couples that exactly like your situation, Frank, where one person is OCD and one person is ADHD, and they both drive each other crazy. So because one likes to keep things neat and one likes to keep things messy. And what I recommend is widening the playing field, meaning that what can you let go? Is it that big of a deal if somebody leaves their shoes out in the family room instead of putting them away? But stuff like leaving the stove on, then you get into safety issues, and that's where it gets to be a real concern.
Mm. Oh, constantly leaving the back door open. I mean, these are things that I continually remind her about.
Right, and that's the thing with ADD. You can remind us until the cows come home, but we're not going to do it. And it's not that we don't want to do it, we just don't remember. And it really doesn't make sense. But that's kind of how our brains work. So.
Well, one of the things you might want to do is check out Stephanie's website, 10simplesolutions.com, because there are many suggestions there. And, how long have you been married, Frank?
About a year now.
Oh, you're newlywed. Oh,
well, that's rough anyway.
Yeah, that's...
You got to hang in there.
Do you put the seat down yet or what?
God,
do you put the seat down yet after a year?
I always put the seat down.
Okay, then you're a good boy.
Good
okay.
Guy. Okay.
All right, hang in there, my friend, and thanks for
Take
listening.
Care.
Wow. Newlyweds. That's always an adjustment period to begin with.
Oh, yeah, that's the hardest year of marriage, I think, is the first year.
One of the issues, though, that he brought up, and you raise a good point, too, there can be a safety issue involved, right?
Right.
If you're forgetting to do certain things or you're not quite on target focused. If you're a mom, right, let's say, and you've got to deal with young children or pick them up, I mean, these kind of things can get pretty serious.
And they can be really, really cataclysmic and life or death situations, like forgetting that your child's in the car and shutting the car in a hot day and leaving, and your child dies from heat exhaustion. I mean, those things have happened. So it's a real serious disorder. There's a higher rate of suicide in people with ADHD, a higher rate of divorce, and that's why treatment's so important, that we consider this to be a valid disorder.
And the heredity factor, Stephanie, very much in play.
Very much. If you have one parent with ADHD, you have about 60-70% chance of inheriting it. If you have two parents with it, you have about 80% to 99% chance of also inheriting it.
But there is hope. There are solutions. There, of course, is medication and strong solutions and suggestions that you're suggesting tonight, which includes making lists, taking advantage of all kinds of things, looking for instance, the grocery shopping jungle. Say, skip the coupons, don't go to the grocery store hungry, always go to the store with a list.
Right.
That makes sense for anybody.
Yeah, and then also go with somebody, because then they can check your cart and say, okay, you don't need the, you know, five boxes of cereal, you can just have one. So, I mean, just having somebody with you, too, kind of a buddy that understands your ADHD and doesn't pass judgment on you, that can really help.
Kevin and Lynn, welcome, Kevin. You're next here on WBZ.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, Kevin.
Hi.
I was just wondering on the medicines for the ADD, most of those are narcotics, controlled substances, I believe it's class B. And you mentioned dopamine. Now, is the ADD medicine supposed to add the dopamine? Because you mentioned something about that could have been lost during some sort of substance abuse. Because I know that, like Wellbutrin is one of the antidepressants with the dopamine in it that can be given. And if dopamine is necessary to overcome ADD, can that be used in place of the narcotics? And there's also the Strattera out there, which is the amoxicillin, and that's non-narcotic.
Right.
And do they have more non-narcotic medicines now for the ADD as opposed to the narcotics? Because some of the narcotics, I mean, it's speed, and it brings about aberrant behavior. And you go to sleep, you wake up, and you say, well, you know, was that really me this afternoon being the way I was, or was that the medicine? Well,
let's get an answer or response here. Go ahead.
I'm not really sure where to begin, so we'll start at the beginning. I'm just going to clarify about the narcotic part. Medications or stimulants are known as Schedule II, which means that there is a potential for addiction. But if you look at the fact that if you're not on medicine, you have a 6 times higher rate of substance abuse, that gives you kind of an idea of how the medicines work. And there is a non-stimulant called Strattera that was approved back in 2004. First non-stimulant approved for ADHD. Wellbutrin, some studies have shown that does work for adult ADHD. And the whole dopamine issue, what the medicine does, it doesn't actually have dopamine, but it raises your dopamine level back up. And that gets into a whole bunch of neurons and, you know, other
same
stuff.
Same issue with serotonin. Yes. Serotonin uptake. Drugs that push serotonin levels up.
Right.
Well, go ahead, Kevin.
If I could just make a suggestion here in closing, that if so the folks out there who are on any kind of the narcotics for the ADT, speak with your psychiatrist or get into some sort of medication management group, because given some of the behaviors that precipitate and come about because of taking that type of drug, I mean, it's really powerful, and it's something you got to watch out for. You know, you can overreact and everything's an emergency, so, you know, you got to figure out what's the drug and what's you, the real person.
Absolutely the best advice, because everyone's different. The reactions are different. Thank you for that, Kevin. Always a pleasure having you on the program. the people hear the term medication for psychological issue. They immediately think that someone's state of being is going to be foggy, cloudy. You're going to be in some kind of daze or something. Is that the case in any of these medications? Can they react that way, or most of them just sort of naturally?
You can get side effects from everything, including aspirin. But the medication's at a fairly low dose, and that's where it's important to go see your doctor. I think that there's a lot of concern about the psychiatric medications because we don't have a blood test like we do with other disorders. If you could take a blood test and find out what kind of ADD you have, I don't think we'd have as many issues with the medication, but there are non-stimulants available.
Indeed, but a lot of times people say that they don't feel any different. They just feel clearer and more right. more together, which is why it can work miracles. In some
right.
cases.
And if you ever have a feeling like you're not feeling like yourself, just call your doctor. It's better to call them. Don't feel like you're going to bother them, because they would rather know then that you're having a side effect rather than wait to your appointment.
Do you recommend talk therapy in conjunction with for every case, or can sometimes medication just do the trick for some people?
It depends on the individual person, but studies have shown that medication and counseling work better together than either treatment by themselves.
Okay, great. Let's do this. Corey, why don't we take our final break? We'll come right back with other callers. For Dr. Stephanie Sarkis, she's here talking about her book on the solutions, 10 simple solutions, to adult ADD. It's an issue that affects millions, probably 4 to 5 million, probably more than that. You can visit her website, 10simplesolutions.com, which has links and, of course, details on the book and much more information. We'll come right back. This is Jordan. Lots to do tonight. Thanks for being here. Stay well.
On the road tonight, make the ride more fun. Call the Jordan Rich Show on WBZ News Radio 1030. The phone number is 617-254-1030.
WBZ gets results for thousands of New England businesses. If you want to grow your business, listen to this.
Hi, I'm Timothy Flynn from Winters Plumbing. When most people think about a plumber, the first thing that comes to mind is the word lost. They all think they're going to be late, overcharge, stink, and track stuff into my house. But with Winters Plumbing, we guarantee that our men will show up in uniform, on time, and deliver a price before they start. When people think reliable, they think Winters Plumbing. And when we think reliable, we think WBZ. With traffic on the threes, weather on the tens, and up to the second breaking news, WBZ is reliable for everyone in New England. So for plumbing, heating, drain cleaning, service that's on time, courteous, clean, in a professional way, it's Winters Plumbing and Heating. We'll be there when you need us. Winters Plumbing and Heating. Winters on the way. And for the best investment of your advertising dollar, it's WBZ News Radio 1030.
New England is sold on WBZ News Radio 1030 every day.
You want a backyard storage shed. You want a Reed's Ferry shed. You want to save money.
Ding!
Yeah, that last one got your attention. Well, next weekend, August 11th and 12th, is the Massachusetts tax-free holiday. Buy your Reed's Ferry shed or gazebo and pay no sales tax. Buy a 10x12 classic-style vinyl shed for $24.99. 10x12, $24.99, and pay no sales tax. You'll save a lot of money next weekend, and you'll own a better shed. Reed's Ferry is better built than the sheds found at home improvement chain stores. Reed's has hundreds of size, style, and color combinations in cedar, pine, vinyl. And under that siding, we put thick exterior grade plywood, no fall of particle board. And Reed's installs your shed. We don't use a subcontractor like the home improvement chain store. The only thing better than a Reed's Ferry shed is buying one tax-free. Pay no sales tax next weekend and get a better shed. Reed's Ferry.
Call 888-85-SHEDS for a quality shed.
Reed's Ferry.
No shed.
To join in the Jordan Rich Show, call 617-254-1030. To hear all the news, traffic, and weather, listen each morning, starting at 5. We are WBZ News Radio 1030, every day.
Just think about what it takes for any of us to get through an average day, the intense concentration, whether you're driving, whether you're dropping off kids, whether you're trying to get to work and do the work and be effective, and then toss in this this issue which affects millions of Americans. It is a mental health issue, ADD and ADHD, for adults, not just kids. And that's what we're talking about with Dr. Stephanie Sarkis. She's involved in counseling and in helping people. She herself has dealt with ADD in her own life. She's written 10 simple solutions to adult ADD. Shall we take a few more calls?
Sure.
Let's do it. Let's go to Ben in Brighton. Ben, you're next. How are you?
Good morning, Jordan. Good morning.
Hi, my friend.
Hi, Ben.
Well, no, I call because this is a subject that, as a civil rights investigator for the U.S. Department of Education, I was very intricately involved with, especially with children in school. And it was amazing that the schools themselves, even though they had special ed programs, knew nothing about ADD and did nothing to address the issue. Most of the time I found out that parents would complain to me because their child had been chained to a radiator or tied to their desk to keep them from being overactive in the classroom. Now, One question that I have, can food additives or food enhancers trigger ADD?
Excellent question. Studies have shown that about 1% of ADHD symptoms are due to food allergies. Other than that, there's not a food allergy basis. There used to be the Feingold diet came out, I think, in the 80s, and it was found out again that just 1% of people have food allergies or so severe it results in hyperactivity.
So even the old sugar rush question is still not quite firm in people's minds. Right.
And I always tell people to stay away from refined sugar. Mm.
Yes.
That's the best thing to do.
Anyway.
Period. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ben, you and I, Ben's another friend.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about accepting people for what they are and not condemning. And so many of us are quick to suggest, oh, if that person's acting a little strange, stay away. He's obviously strange. But you realize, my God, it could be something that's so easily treatable. That's the sad part.
This is so easy, and it's such a normal approach to things for people to dish other people because of their behavior without knowing. And that, in some cases, exacerbates the person and causes them to have different reactions.
Sure. And in some cases, withdraw, go within, and even self-medicate. Thank you, Ben. Always a pleasure for your input. Let's go to John in New Hampshire for Dr. Stephanie Sarkis on the subject of adult ADD and how to deal with it. John?
Good evening, Jordan, and how are you doing tonight, Doctor?
Quite well.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Couple of interesting comments. I am 52 years old. I was diagnosed a number of years ago as an adult with attention deficit disorder. But the version of ADD that I have is a little bit reversed from what you're talking about. There is another side of attention deficit disorder that is often ignored by the medical industry, which is when an individual can get so totally engrossed in some one particular thing that their house could burn down around them,
right,
and they wouldn't even know it. They'll miss meals. I used to go 3 and 4 days without eating, literally. Mm-hmm. Because I was involved in either a science project or a technical project with sound systems or something of the sort. And most doctors totally ignore that as a sign of ADD.
Right. And I bring that up in the book that there's a symptom of hyper-focusing. So you could be so engrossed in a TV show that somebody can be calling your name, you don't hear them. So that actually is a symptom of ADD. If our brains find something really exciting, we're going to zone in on that to the exclusion of everything else. So thank you for bringing that up, that hyper-focusing is a symptom of ADD.
There's another interesting point, too. I did a lot of research on this years ago. It started with finding out that my son, who's now 21, was severe ADD with underlying seizure disorder. And I worked with Dr. George Storm out of Kingston, New Hampshire, on some projects. In fact, we even recorded a series of audio tapes for him.
How?
One of the interesting things we found is that a very high percentage, specifically at that point, over 75% of people in the emergency fields, police, fire, ambulance, etc., are in fact ADD afflicted, and they do so well in that field because they are constantly in a state of flux. One minute they're sitting in the car doing nothing, the next minute there's a 10-car pileup that they're rushing off to save a life or put out a fire and that sort of thing.
Right, and actually that's a chapter in my book, so thank you for helping me plug that. I have a list of jobs that help people, or that people with ADD do really well at, and one of them is an ER physician or ER staff, because like you said, there's always a fire to put out, and there's always something to do, and so people with ADD do beautifully in jobs like that. And sales, too, because you're talking to all sorts of different people, you're moving around. So there are jobs that you can find that are really beneficial when you're ADD.
Great. Well,
Thank you.
I think it's about time we had a program like this on the air that talked about a subject that, although most people relate it to children, the thing is those children eventually grow up. And those of us who grew up before they were officially diagnosing it now have something to look at and say, hey, that's why I didn't do good in school. That's why I had so many half-finished jobs in my life. Now I can do something about it.
And by the way, best to your son too, John, okay?
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you.
Wonderful call. One more quick call. Joan in Boston. We have about 2.5 minutes. Joan, go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to make it quick. I have 4 children, and one has ADD. And you say, and it's hereditary. How come the one got it and the other 3 did not?
There may be different causes for it. So not everything's 100% genetic. So there may be other causes for it too. And that's all very individual on the child. But it also may be that, some kids are inattentive, and girls especially are more likely to be inattentive. So they're less likely to be diagnosed. And in my case, it didn't really show up until graduate school because I did okay throughout throughout school. I mean, I could have done better, but when you have to be living on your own and then having to study on your own, sometimes that's when it kind of rears its ugly head. So, but it may be just that, your other children are blessed with not having ADD.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. When it comes to things genetic, we still have lots of mystery out there, and we don't, right. There's not 100% answer one way or the other. Well, listen, this was a fascinating hour. Having you in studio was great, and appreciate it. This was a popular issue when we had you on for about a half hour last year by phone. This was much more intimate to get to know more about you and also to share. So folks should know that there is hope out there, a lot of it, right? Mm-hmm. And that if they feel, after listening tonight, that there may be something going on, best advice, contact their doctor or get a referral to a psychologist,
to a psychiatrist. Right. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And just to point out, there are a lot of positive features to ADD, too. Mm. So I think that's something to keep in mind.
Right. You can find some very productive people with ADD.
Well, we're good at multitasking. We have great personalities. Of course, I'm biased. But, you know, there's a lot of great things about people with ADD.
It's not a character flaw, in other words, at all. It is something to be explored, dealt with. And your book is a great way to do it. And again, if people go to the website 10simplesolutions.com, it's also your name is up there too, StephanieSarkis.com. They'll see your blog. They'll also find details on the book and a lot of good contact information they can write to you and so forth. Right. So listen, thank you so much. You're going back
to
Florida?
Yep.
Gainesville. Is it hot in Gainesville this time of year?
It's brutally hot, Well, and today was almost as hot as Florida, so thank you for bringing the weather to me.
We thought it would make things better if, had it basically. Listen, there's still probably a half a sandwich in there if you're hungry you leave the studio from Mike's Deli. Listen, we're going to come back, and thanks again to Stephanie. We're going to come back and talk with a very interesting chap by the name of Murray Forbes from the Navigator Foundation. We'll talk with him. What is that? You'll find out in a matter of moments. And lots of good stuff throughout the night. Thank you for listening. You can visit my site, jordanrich.com. Email the program anytime, jordan.rich@wbz.com. We'll break for a little news, and then we shall return with much more scintillating conversation right here on the radio.
The most listened to radio station in New England. Every day. News Radio 1030. WBZ. Boston.